This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-50 all-wheel drive, only $249 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SN316458. MSRP 32295 and 331-25.
Live from Twin Peaks at Kirby and 59, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from the Twin Peaks on Kirby and Southwest Freeway. Come out, see you fellas, but also see the Houston Cougars play against SIU Edwards, start their tournament run for this March Madness 2025. They're already on the floor, and hey man, LJ Cryer already has knocked down a three, so everything's right with the world. It's a 7-4 lead very, very early in this one for the Cougars. Try and keep you up to date as to what's happening with them throughout this thing as well. There was one more thing that you pointed something out to me. Was it the
Houston? Yeah, if you had an idea about Alex Verdugo.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there was people that were looking at, oh, man, the Jose Altuve and left field out experiment. Do you maybe go out and get another outfielder to help you out?
All right, he gone.
Alex Verdugo signs to the Braves. A mil and a half?
$1.5 million.
So he'll be able to get out there and start getting himself ramped up for the season. Man, season is really close.
Yeah, it is.
Fast approaching for these teams. And so excited to see. We're close to also getting an idea of whether or not Cam Smith is put on the 40-man, which that feels like a given to some degree, but then also whether he makes it to the 26-man roster and actually starts. I was interested to see Zach DiCenzo after, getting hit in the head, was it a couple days ago, he'll be back in the lineup today. He's playing today
Astros. And it's a pretty much a minor league lineup from what I saw.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We will see. All right. Derek Stingley Jr. got his 3-year, $90 million extension. Of course, we know that that basically puts him under team control, for lack of a better term, for the next 5 years, and it's a lot more appealing. But, I mean, nonetheless, big-time deal that if you just want to look at the average annual value of the deal itself, sets the market anew for cornerbacks. And he was talking to the Assembled Media yesterday. It was a few things he was talking about. I want to get to Stingley cut six or seven here, rather. Figgy, where he was asked at what point in his career did he realize he could be the best cornerback in the NFL?
Probably once I started seeing like people that I, guarded in college or went against at some point in high school, like seeing them go to the NFL and make plays, and I'm just like, I can play with them, so then I can probably do that. So
I found that to be interesting because, I don't know, like, and I, that would seem to intimate that, like, that happened maybe after his freshman year in college. Maybe he was talking about, like, from high school. And
yeah, maybe possible. Somebody in high school.
It's possible. But I was like, it felt like he dropped into LSU, and he was immediately a man amongst boys. Mm-hmm. And we're saying that in college when you're, you know, a freshman. Like, he looked like he was ready in that year to make that leap. So it's kind of interesting to always see, like, you know, where how these guys view themselves, especially at a position like cornerback. Where I always feel like I'm always good with the cornerback that's like some level of diva or loud or what have you, because you need an irrational confidence to play cornerback. It's a failure position.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have that temperament, so it's always interesting to see like what that like personal belief was or where it was. And I mean, it happened relatively early, right? He said once he saw guys that he had competed against being that low. But I found it interesting that he wasn't immediately in that place, because I mean, the way that he played his freshman year at LSU, I thought it looked like, oh well,
in the spring when he signed.
Yeah, that's true.
He was an early enrollee. Remember we had Brian Kelly on? He's like, he was an early enrollee, and we're like, well, let's play that guy because he's already that good. Just walking on the campus. I have heard several players over the years that's how they're gauged. Like, you know, when they get to the NFL, they're like, well, I blocked that guy, you know, or I covered that guy or whatever. And I could easily see where it's like, okay, you know, sort of validation right there.
So there was that. He was also asked, and this is Cut 12 Fig, what was D'Amico and Nick's message to you after signing this new deal?
Well, really just, like, staying true to, like, who you are. Like, it's time to – you got it, okay, but – you know, still football at the end of the day. Just go out there and just be myself and continue to do what I'm doing.
Believe it 100%. And you're going to hear some other stuff from him that I totally believe as well. He is just, in a good way, a different kind of guy. You know, he walks in there, doesn't really talk a lot, doesn't really do a lot, you know, isn't flamboyant, isn't, you know, diva. That guy loves him some football, man. I mean, he just, you talk about, you know, a swarm kind of guy. I mean, that guy just loves football. I don't think it's going to be any different. Nothing.
No, I mean, I don't think that, you know, and this is kind of, I guess, reckless, or this is just kind of speculative, but he doesn't seem like the type of dude where that's the motivation. In fact, like, I mean, one of the things that he talked about, let me see if I can find
the
audio particularly, was, you know, finding out how he even found out about the deal, like how he found out about the fact that the deal was done. Figure, you got this one for me?
I'm getting it now.
Okay. But yeah, just the way that he found out very much, you know, rang to me like a dude who, if it gets done, it's cool, and if not, that's all right. And I mean, not to say that he was not wanting this. Clearly, I imagine everybody, when you're doing the job that you do, like, compensation isn't just about here's all this money. It's, you know, money is a proxy for respect in those moments. When very much you can tell that the Texans organization, the McNairs, they respect the hell out of Derek Stingley Jr. But yeah, man, finding out that the deal was done. This is where Sting was.
Well, when I found out, I was working out with my pops. And then, like, halfway through the workout, he was like, oh, dude, guess what? I was like, what? And then he was like, deal's done. And I was like, what? It's crazy. So, I mean, I was just saying that's crazy.
So there's two things about that. First of all, the idea that he said that's crazy, as if he did not know he was a market-setting cornerback, rather, is funny to me. But then also, again, like, the idea that his dad had to be the one to tell him. It's not just that.
And he's working out.
Well, the working out is one thing, right? That's the one that's very easy to see and just be like, oh, he's
of course he is.
Nose to the grindstone. But for me, I found it interesting. Like, okay, I know that he's not the one negotiating. In fact, that's one of the reasons why you have an agent. Mm-hmm. They get to handle the dirty work of having the conversations, right? It's almost it's why arbitration in baseball is so weird, because you have to be in front of the team saying bad things about you, trying to knock your number down. Yeah. An agent is great because they can say the bad things to your agent and it never gets to your face and it doesn't change the relationship. But that's one degree of separation. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was two, because for his dad to know, did his agent talk to his pops?
I guess his dad might, maybe it was social media, maybe he found it.
Yeah, did it become public in his dad? Yeah. Like, it felt like there's like, almost two degrees of separation where it didn't even come directly to him, where he's that removed from the negotiations. Like, you handle the negotiation, I am the football guy, which again points to the idea that he's going to handle this business. And I think, obviously, I don't think anybody had any concerns that he would be able to, like, that he would keep delivering the same level of production, but man, that is a confirmation fully in my mind that the production and the work ethic is not going to wane one bit now that he got more money.
And he said as much. I mean, he said that the money was never going to change him. And I'm like, yeah, of course it's not.
I wouldn't expect it to.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect it. So somebody says Sting has some Dre to his voice, tone, and cadence when he speaks. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, that's he seems like a similar type of dude, which is very interesting in another position where you can kind of consider like the boisterous kind of nature, that wide receiver for Andre Johnson. So, no, I mean, look, Stingley, he didn't say a ton because he's Derek Stingley. He's not going to be a dude that says a lot. He wants that work to show on the field. Mm-hmm. But even in what he said, I found it very interesting, and I found a lot of solace in what he said. One more thing before we go. I did want to say, what was this, from cut nine here, what was your biggest takeaway from all of this?
What's your biggest takeaway from this?
I mean, it's time to start playing football. Like, I'm ready to get back into it. So, and that's really it. Like, I don't really think about the contract for real.
He doesn't. I mean, a lot of times you hear that and you're like, sure, you know. He doesn't. I mean, obviously he's going to use the money, I'm sure. And
sure.
Appreciate it and all that. But Derek Stingley is the guy that a lot of some of our listeners want every player to be. Why isn't your nose in the playbook? His is. Why aren't you working out? His is. What you doing in Cabo? I'm not in Cabo. I'm working out with my dad. I mean, he's literally that guy that you want, you know, that one listener that thinks these guys should have no life but football should be.
Sorry.
He is that guy.
There was one more. It's 14 here is what I was looking for. What has changed that's allowed you to stay healthier and on the field for more consecutive games? Because that's obviously going to be a big factor in what gives the Texans more confidence in giving him this kind of commitment.
Well, I mean, when it comes to injuries, like, you're not really in control of injuries. Like, I mean, certain things you are, but, like, I don't know. Sometimes stuff just happens. You know, last year, being able to play every game, that was really my main goal, and I mean, that's my goal every year. So I mean, I don't know. Like, I just work out, and then like the strength staff, they make sure that they know what we're doing, and just go by that. So.
He's that guy.
Simple enough. Yeah, he's
that guy.
Control what I control, and then we go out and we do it. That's that's Derek Stingley. That is your new $30 million a year man, or I guess if you really wanted to view it over the 5-year span, 22 and a change, $1 million a year man. That is set to be with your Texans for 5 more seasons.
By the way, Cougs up 21-6. Sir.
Yeah, 21-8, sir.
21-8. My bad. Be didn't mean to shortchange Edwardsville. There.
That's right. all right. So I gave you a little bit of homework earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
A list of the people that Texans.
Who do we hate?
Hate.
Who do we hate?
And you came back with this. I want the people on the text line 713-572-4610. Tell me, do you agree or disagree with John Lopez's list?
Top 5 people that we hate. Okay, I'm going to do some honorable mentions first, because there are a lot of people that as Texans fans we just hate. So I think we all may know who number one is, but I'm going to say you may not. Honorable mentions: David Johnson.
Damn, David Johnson.
We hate him. Ed Reed.
Well, yeah. See, Ed Reed makes more sense by himself because of, you know, he himself set expectations.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like David Johnson. How do you get there? Because I feel like it's less about him and more the circumstance.
It's more Bill O'Brien, but David Johnson. A lot of fans had high expectations too. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was so frustrating to watch.
Sure.
Like, incredibly. Figgy, I'm not wrong on David Johnson, am I?
No, I don't think you're wrong on that. But I do think people kind of dislike him because he was part of the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Sure.
And other it's not actually his fault, but hey, it'd be like that.
He was a super nice guy.
Right.
But this is who we got for DeAndre Hopkins, pretty much.
This one, I think I might get some pushback. These are just honorable mentions. I'll get to the top 5 here in a second. David Culley.
Ah, that's tough. I might be too kind in this.
It wasn't his fault.
It's not his fault.
The money.
Right.
But boy, he was a mess.
It's the football mess.
It's tough for me to hate that guy, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Like, he wasn't an a-hole or nothing like that. He was just a bad coach, man.
Yep. T.Y. Hilton.
Sure. Easy.
Right.
Yeah,
okay. 100%. Good answer.
Tony Boselli.
Okay.
He was their first pick in the expansion draft. All kind, or was he free? Whatever it was. Was here for 3 or 4 years getting paid, never played a down. Not one down.
Yeah, that'll do it.
David Carr.
Sure.
Yeah, people got mad at him. Okay, here's your top 5.
Okay.
Agree, disagree, reorder. Number 5, Brock Osweiler.
Good answer. Again, yeah. I kind of feel bad, but I don't know why I'm more more okay with this one, because, again, I don't know how much of that was his fault per se.
Why,
yeah.
Brock? Why?
Yeah.
I forgot about that one. Biggie's got a bag, man. He's got them all stashed away. Number four, this might be a little low in some people's views. Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, this is low.
You think it's low?
It feels low.
You haven't heard the top three yet.
And I haven't. Yeah, I have two of the... My bad. Didn't mean to step on you, Bill. I got two of the top three, so I know. But I feel like three is probably where he should be right now. So
Figgy, you think this is a little low?
Yeah. It might be about right, to be
all
honest.
All right, number three, Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
I feel like that's a little low.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that might be a little low.
Well, you haven't heard the top two yet.
Yeah, because Deshaun Watson besmirched the organization for a good long time because of his shenanigans.
Yep.
So, no. Okay. All right. I will hear you, but, man, I can't believe we got Bill O'Brien to four.
Yeah, well.
My goodness.
Number two, Amy Adams Strunk.
Yep. Saw that one coming. Which is, I do wonder, because I feel like the man putting the list together factors in.
But it doesn't necessarily. I mean, this city hates her.
Do you think that that's changing over time as people are further away from, like, that actual decision and, like, the grief that happened in the team going away?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not in my circle.
All right.
And number one, y'all want to say it together?
Jack
Easterby.
I was so blessed.
Bill O'Brien is actually four. I think it's legitimately four.
Like, there is a good argument. The 979 jumped in immediately, B.O.B., as the number one.
Ahead of Jack Easterby, ahead of Deshaun Watson, of Amy Adams.
When you lay it out there, like, I do understand how you got here to a four. Wow. I just did not think that would be the way that it landed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let us know. On the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. Do you agree? Do you disagree? While we wait for those, it's about that time to hand it over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. Fig, what you got for us?
Yes. So it's March Madness, and I have to bring up a bracket that has never been brought up on these airways ever. Mm. Plus, imagine hitting the lottery, but they won't give you your money.
What?
Wow.
Oh, man. All right, I got to find out about that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yep, it's the Mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on Thursday. I almost forgot what day it was. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. It felt like it was a Thursday a couple days ago.
It sure did. It was a weird week.
Yeah, yeah. But happy Thursday to everyone out there. Happy March Madness is already going on. The Cougs are playing right now. What's the score?
32-16. They've doubled them up early.
Okay, okay.
Well, early. It's 6 minutes left in the first half.
Okay, Cougs. Cougs should get this one, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we're already having, like, interesting side, well, not bets, but side...
mock bets.
There you go. Okay. Because Show asked me, as SIU Edwardsville, they only had 11 points with 9 minutes to go in this. And he's like, you think they get to 20 at half? And I took the under. They've knocked down a three since then and had a bucket. So they have 16 points with probably about 7 minutes to go. It looks like they might get there, but I don't know. I trust U of H. They might put the clamps on.
And by the way, we have our first final, Creighton 89, Louisville 75. Put it in Sharpie, as they say. Creighton advances in your pool.
Okay, okay. So I wonder how many brackets are broken already just for that.
I always hate that. That should have been my confession. I really hate when people are like, oh, I lost one game. My bracket is busted. I'm like, do you still have Final Four teams?
Yes, that's the key thing.
You have teams in your Elite Eight. Your bracket's not busted. Stop saying that.
Yeah. So speaking of brackets, though, I've been working at this station specifically on the show for a long time as a part-timer and full-timer. And I felt like we did a lot of random ass brackets, just any type of brackets in life.
Oh, yeah.
And the one I remember specifically is the one I think it was Lopez and Cody did this one. Cody Stoops. And y'all did a vegetable bracket.
We did. We sure did.
What came out on top of the vegetable bracket?
I can't remember. Do you remember, Figgy?
I don't, but I remember laughing at this. I'm like, are they really doing a bracket?
We really did.
Vegetables? And I remember.
How do you
them.
Do a head-to-head bracket with vegetables? Dude. Like onion? Well,
does broccoli beat cauliflower?
Are you for real?
Yes, I am. It's cauliflower all day, by the way.
Get the bleep out of here. Ain't no way.
No, because it's more versatile.
No,
it's more versatile.
We are
not. You can make cauliflower pizza. You can make cauliflower pizza.
Hey, unbelievable.
I'm about cauliflower everything.
I'm about to cut y'all damn mic, so we ain't about to be debating no damn broccoli versus cauliflower.
It's unbelievable that you would say that broccoli. No, I was playing. My bad.
Nah, but this bracket right here I got in my hand, I think this might be the first bracket that was ever discussed on these airwaves.
Okay.
This is the BBL bracket.
What?
The BBL bracket. If you don't know what BBL stands for, is Brazilian butt lift.
Okay, so it is what I thought it was.
Yeah,
okay.
So girls that got some work done, got their bodies done. Somebody put a bracket out here on this, sir, internet.
Well, you have my interest.
So I'm going to just go through the bracket list. And
oh, there's no way I know who all these people are.
Yeah, you might know some of them. So the number one seed in this bracket, in the BBL bracket, is Young Miami of the City Girls.
I'm familiar with her.
Yeah, so she's going against Janice Hart. I wasn't familiar with her. She's the 16th seed in this one.
No idea.
Okay.
The number nine seed is Jordan Woods, who was the BFF of, I want to say, Kylie Jenner. And remember, she got caught up in all that mess with Tristan Thompson and all that stuff.
I don't remember, but thank you for telling me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, just do your homework on your own time. Just these names and see who advanced. But she going against Summer Walker, who's an R&B artist. And she's the number eight seed. Next, you got Sweetie, who I think she recently performed at the NBA All-Star halftime or whatever.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, she going against Jada Waiter. I'm not sure who Jada Waiter is.
No idea, but I do love that somebody out there was like
putting
doing the work, making sure. Because also, not everybody's so bold about letting everybody know the work that they got done. So somebody had to go and do the research and double check. Did this person indeed get the Brazilian butt lift?
So the number 13 seed is Jocelyn Hernandez, who was always fighting on Love and Hip Hop.
That's right.
And she's going against the number 4 seed, Bernice Burgos.
Who no idea what that.
Yeah, I actually played her. I want to say I played some audio of her on this show before, but she's probably the best looking grandma in history.
Oh, wow.
She looked like she's about 20 years old, and she's in her
40s. I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Kim K, this is the one I'm really excited about. The number 3 seed, Kim Kardashian, going against the number 14 seed, Drea.
Oh, okay. That's why you're excited, is that there's a local tie in here.
Yeah, who y'all got in that one?
Well, I feel like just off of the strength of her baby daddy's work recently, I feel like Drea has to get a level of love here, does she not?
Does she win?
I think that's the upset right there, man.
Yeah, really?
I think that's the upset. I think the number 14 seed Drea upset Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, shout out to her and shout out to Jalen Green, who has been playing like playing a very good brand of basketball, like a winner, 100%. So yeah, there's basketball winners on both sides of that relationship.
Yeah. I'm gonna round off this list real quick because I know people probably switching the music right now. We got Cardi B and Lotto. We got SZA versus Ari, and then we got JT of City Girls versus Nicki Minaj, who is the number 2 seed.
Okay.
I think she get bounced out, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
You can do a bracket for anything, huh?
You really can.
Vegetables and BBLs. I have learned something today.
You're darn right.
All right, speaking of wild things on this internet, Kanye West is Lopez wilding out.
Oh, God.
He's wilding.
Goodness.
He's wilding.
Yeah, so a lot of people really been upset with this tweet, which is nothing new, because a lot of people are always upset with Kanye West's tweets. And this tweet actually rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I'm gonna read this tweet for you.
Okay.
So he tweeted and later deleted this. Wait, has anyone ever seen Jay-Z and Beyonce's younger kid? They're R word.
Oh,
and he actually said the R word.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't put that past him.
And he said, no, like literally. And this is why artificial insemination is such a blessing. Having R word children is a choice.
What is this guy doing?
Well, he's clearly lost his.
He's lost his mind.
Yeah, I mean, like he's not in a. I mean, there's clearly clear mental health issues that are happening there. I am actually, of anything within this, interested in the idea that he deleted the tweet. That's the thing.
Yeah. So he deleted and actually responded to why he deleted the tweet, and it had nothing to do with it being a bad tweet. He just said he didn't want to get banned on social media.
But he didn't take away anything that he said.
No, he did not take away anything. But
I was like, is that actually reflection happening there?
No, it's not. But honestly, this tweet reminded me of something because somebody said the R word on live TV one time. Do y'all remember this?
I mean, well, depending on the year, I imagine it happened a lot.
This was kind of recently. So here is Nick Wright and Chris Broussard on First Things First. And this was around the time when James Harden went to the Clippers. I think he either went to the Clippers or was trying to go to the Clippers with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Chris Broussard had to say about James Harden.
He's not going to get to play the way he wants, and he's going to move, and it's not going to work.
I mean,
shouldn't use that word, but sure.
Developmentally disabled.
Sure.
To think that he is going to go to the Clippers where they have Kawhi Leonard as the number one option, Paul George as the number two, and still Russell Westbrook there, and think that he's going to shoot.
Now, this is going to get a little more awkward. I'm going to finish playing this clip, but it's getting even more awkward.
I didn't know what you were going to say today. I'm shocked. This is not going to work. Let me
apologize for using that word. My first cousin, he died a few months ago, a month or two ago. He was developmentally disabled, so I didn't mean to use that word. But.
God. Did that make it better?
Not one bit, especially because it sounded like he was about to
say it again.
It sounded like he was about to say we had to put him down.
That's what I heard, and I was like, man, that is
this
not
is, how. This was on First Things First.
That
goodness gracious.
That's a word that now. I mean, you should probably. I don't know if you can argue should, but people get fired over it.
Yeah,
I mean, especially in like a media perspective, for sure.
I didn't really see him get a lot of blowback for that, but that was crazy. He was wild,
indeed
right
crazy.
There,
yeah, he was. Lopez, what was he doing?
He was wilding.
Mm-hmm.
Or wilding.
Yeah, he was wilding. So, a woman in Texas hit the lottery recently, and I want to say it was for $83.5 million. It was last month.
I wish she was a relative.
But they won't pay her because she bought the ticket through an app called Jack Pocket. Have you heard of this app?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I'm interested in this story.
So officials are looking into whether she should her win should count. And she can't get paid until the investigation is complete. So she bought the ticket through the Jackpocket app that's owned by a gambling site, DraftKings.
Okay.
So I guess in the state of Texas, you really can't buy lottery tickets. The only way you could buy lottery tickets is cash only. Okay. So you can't pay through like a...
Now, that is true, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't pay through an app or anything like that. It got to be cash. So, so technically she won through the app, but they not trying to pay her. I guess they trying to see if it should be legit or not.
Man, I get it now. I guess there was some sort of legislation or something that didn't pass. So now they're trying to find a loophole that she could get paid. This is awful, man. I mean, did she pick the right numbers or not? Was the Jackpocket associated with the lottery or not?
Yeah.
If those two answers are yes, pay the woman.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Pay the woman.
For sure. I mean, that's really wild. I hate that.
You know about red tape? You know?
Yeah. No, that got to be the worst feeling ever, man. Just imagine you got the winning ticket, you won, and they saying no.
Yeah.
Especially because it's already hard enough to win.
Like, yeah, exactly.
When you actually get the right numbers, they're like, actually, you didn't do it quite the right way, so no, you can't get it.
Yeah.
That really sucks. I hope they give it to her, man.
They need to. There will be lawyers.
For some reason, I feel like they probably won't. I don't know if they will.
You don't think they will?
I don't know, man, because it's kind of weird because, like being in the state of Texas, like, it's a lot of stuff that's banned and, you know, you can't do that here and all that stuff. And I feel like I don't know if they're going to give it to her, man. It's going to be a fight.
All right. Well, let's take this to the law court, or the court, rather, of the Honorable Judge John Lopez to make the decision here, because you said, you know, judges might get involved here, or maybe dishonorable. Mm-hmm. Judge John Lopez, how do you rule in the case of this woman in Jackpocket and her winnings?
Why are you wasting the court's time with this frivolous, I tell you, state of Texas argument? Because the woman picked the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Jackpocket is officially associated with the Texas lottery.
That is true.
And the legislation that you tried to pass, in which you could not you could ban an app for your lottery tickets, did not pass. This is open and shut case. Give that woman $83 million.
Very good. All right. Yeah. Excellent. Not my money. So. All right. Is that we're good on the mixtape here?
I think we're good, man.
All right, there you go. The mixtape, Figgy's mixtape, in fact, every weekday at 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig on social media. If you want to, if you find something rather that you think is mixtape worthy, all right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. Right at 59, come out and hang out as we're about to have the drive take over. Man. In fact, coming up next, we'll talk with those fine fellas.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from Twin Peaks at Kirby and 59, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
It's been a fun day here out at Twin Peaks on 59 and Kirby, and the fun will keep rolling on as we're about to hand it off to the fellas of the drive, Clint and Ron, who are out here. They've been enjoying themselves. Unfortunately, the little side conversation that myself and Ron had about SIU Edwardsville has gone on the over. We were trying to see if SIU Edwardsville.
That's a good bet.
Man, that is a wordy name. We gotta find something shorter. SIUE, even that feels like a lot.
Yeah.
They have 24 points at the half, which is more than 20. And there you go. You hear people excited for the Cougs hitting a three at the buzzer. 52 of them things. 52 points in the first half.
Up 28 at the half.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to get through this one, man. I think that this is going to be a victory.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, man, Houston has looked really good in this one, and it's a testament to just how good they are that for a good long stretch, it didn't look like SIU Edwardsville would even get close to scoring 20 points and a half of basketball. They scored 24, but it's not nearly close enough to what Houston is doing. So, shout out to the Cougs. Looking like a team that's ready ready to find their destiny in the Final Four in San Antonio in a few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, 54 to, was it 24?
Yes, sir.
52-24. I think it's they're up 28, something like that.
But that's correct.
They are cooking. And as I said earlier, you know, Creighton won their first game. I think that's the only other final that we have. Purdue's starting to pull away from High Point.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I thought that was my upset pick, and that one looks like that one's not going to go down on the bracket. But we'll hope to see that one come through. We were talking a little bit earlier about the Derek Stingley extension, and I mean how good he is. I want to play you a little bit of audio from Richard Sherman.
Okay,
you're familiar with Richard Sherman, right?
Very familiar with his work.
Very good cornerback in this league. He's gone into the media space. How do you feel about him as a broadcaster? Like I know he's
been up and
Amazon.
Down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like he's had his moments where you're like, all right, and then. Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly a very smart guy and obviously knows a lot about football, especially the secondary and cornerback play. And this is him talking about the best cornerbacks. And I thought his take was kind of interesting here because it's not traditional quite when you talk about what characterizes the best cornerbacks in the league.
The best corners, man, nobody throws to their side. You're not the best corner if nobody's throwing to your side because the best corners hit picks. And they get picks because they bait quarterbacks into throwing to their side, showing them exactly what they want to see. They want to see a picture of me closer to the number one receiver than the number two receiver. I will give them that at the snap. But by the time the ball comes out, I'll be where I intended to be. So I'll give him what he wants, what he thinks he's seeing. And he'll throw it, and he'll be like, you sneaky, sneaky.
Hmm. So, like, closing is what you're saying.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what you're saying.
I regret this immediately.
Figgy, that's what he's talking about there, right? Closing, being a closer?
Yeah, I don't think he's
I mean, he is. Y'all can admit it. I mean, it's right there in front of you. Richard Sherman, one of the best ever, says, yeah, I bait him a little bit, which is another thing that Derek Stingley does, and then I close. And it's true. It's absolutely
nickname
true.
Nickname sucks, man. Stop trying to keep this nickname around.
I'm just saying that's what the best do. You just heard the man.
That's the name of a TV show, man.
Hey, don't take it from me. Take it from Richard Sherman. Closing.
Wait, I'm trying to remember.
So you gonna call him the closing?
The closer.
The closer.
I'm trying to remember what that is. But no, yeah, that was wow. I found that to be.
You didn't think it would go there, did you?
No. You threw me off my whole game, if I'm gonna be completely honest. I wanted to sit here and wax poetic about how good Derek Stingley is as a cornerback.
Well, we can. But, because he closes.
All right. Now, you took all the fun out of it.
No, I did not.
You took all of the fun out of it. All right, so we've been largely positive in talking about the Cam Robinson signing for the Texans at left tackle. I mean, it just represents something that we were waiting for to some degree, is seeing them add a veteran free agent. Do you still have any negatives when it comes to that signing, or are you largely positive? Because I know we were talking about the question marks that you have, and it feels like he's a check mark as opposed to like a question mark. But do you have some negatives within this signing?
Me personally, I'll recognize the potential negatives, but me personally, it's a positive. I mean, you said check mark from the very, very start. That's exactly what it is. I just can't buy into 8 years of a really good Cam Robinson, and then Sam Darnold's the quarterback, and he has a bad 10 games, I believe. I think he played 10 games for the Vikings. Not bad, but not as good. Mm-hmm. He had a couple bad games, no question about it. I can't buy into that. I just can't. So I think it's largely positive. And then the trickle-down, which we've been talking about all day, of what it does for the draft, what it does for other potential signings or trades or whatever, all that.
So there's the text line already lighting up in various different ways. But that's the pass block, the pass protection. And that's something that obviously D'Amico Ryans has spoken to as a huge point of focus, point of emphasis for this team in this offseason, is making sure that they protect the valuable asset that is C.J. Stroud. Him as a run blocker has not been like a great
thing.
Okay,
maybe that one. I'll.
And that's something that this team wants to do. They want to be able to run the football well as an identity. It's one of the few details that we've actually been able to siphon from Nick Caley in his early press conferences, that they want to be able to run the football. How do you feel about a left tackle that, I mean, obviously the previous left tackle wasn't incredible. Maybe it was for lack of trying, but if Cam Robinson isn't that good at run blocking, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I'll grant that one. That's more of a objection by me, and if we're being honest, that's a fair criticism, because that's something that he hasn't necessarily, you know, done a whole lot of at the highest levels. So I'll give you that one. And the projection is new offensive line coach, believes in him. They brought him in for this line, for this system, for what Nick Caley is planning. And Nick Caley's strength is knowing what the line does. I mean, as a tight ends coach, you work hand in glove with the offensive line and the blocking schemes and all that. So, but it is more projection. That one I'll give you. The run blocking might be a little bit of a question.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've been trying to, like, find a way to, I don't know, feel comfortable with. And that's where I have to lean on hope. And I recognize that I'm leaning on hope because obviously we want this team to be good in this upcoming season. The idea of, like, hey, this veteran, as I think you were pointing to and alluding to properly, that he has been pretty good pass blocking wise in the years prior and honestly before he got to Minnesota. But yeah, that not seeing a great run blocking player there is a little concerning, especially in understanding that that's something that they needed to get better at. There's a lot of challenges that this offensive line is going to pose for this team. It's not going to be nearly as bad, I imagine, as it was prior. But as we've talked about multiple times, I don't think that is the bar for this team moving forward.
No, I don't. But I still just feel overall very, very positive about this. Compared to what we were talking about just yesterday, like, I don't know, compared to what the guys were talking about that are about to follow us, I mean, you know, we kind of landed in the middle, but their points were strong. Like, you know, how can you be more confident in this line as is? Very interested to hear what Clint and Ron have to say about all this, but no question about it. It's better. Overall, it's absolutely a positive thing for this squad.
It's in a better place, I think, moving forward.
Yeah.
Now, somebody on the text line came in. First of all, they said Sherman called him the baiter, and we're not doing that either. Like, not even close to doing that. But how about this? Like, somebody is setting the new line as we're having these live friendly bets, not actually bets, on what SIUE actually score. They put the number at 52 for the game. You think they can get to 52 after scoring 24 in the first half?
No, they would have to have a better second half. And there's going to be a lot of just garbage time. The whole second half might be garbage time. You know, just cranking up threes and all that. No, I don't think they get to 52. They don't get to UH's halftime score.
This game doesn't do much for, like, actually what this means for the for the Cougar team, but they're knocking down the threes in this game. They're 8-13. The Cougars are. I'm super excited for them, man. Like, I'm feeling good about the bracket that I have them as a champion. This is not the level of competition that will dictate such things or anything. But I don't know. Just the blood is flowing when it comes to the Cougars. I'm feeling the energy and the excitement.
They have help.
Said the blood's flowing, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, I said what I said, and I meant what I meant. What about you? Y'all got a big game coming up here today as we welcome in Clint and Ron of The Drive, who are ready to broadcast to you.
Let's just get it over with, baby.
Is it going to be a mercy killing?
I don't know, man. Let's just get this season over. I'm tired of looking at these players on this team. Let's get this thing over
with. You don't even want to look at their faces.
I don't. I told Clinton them earlier, I said, man, that there was two teams, that rolled across that screen in which I would care. And I just, like, because I, like, listen, I'm not going to ever root against my team. I'm going to root for them, and when I get in, I'm going to root for them.
Of course.
But I am over them. And I'm halfway just hoping it ends. But if it was Missouri, who I just hate.
Yeah.
And my wife is in the house, too, that went to Missouri. And then Arkansas. And I could just see how it was developing. And I said, well, damn it, I can't have them lose to Arkansas because I'm not to hear from him and Linda like I did the last time. And of course, I was seeing what was left, and I knew who were going to be 7-10.
Saw it coming.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it as soon as the region was unveiled, who it was going to be. And so, I need him to win this one. So I had to hear.
What's the line? I didn't even look at that one.
Kansas is an odd big 7-10 favorite. Like, it's like 5.5 or 6 points.
Wow.
I believe, which is, you know, 7-10 is really like 8-9.
Yeah.
You know, damn near, and I don't know why, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the D&M Auto Leasing crosstalk that we have here.
How about that, huh? Somebody just stepped up.
By the way, one little observation as we're here. I want to make sure that I didn't see this correctly. I want to be wrong on this, Clint. You were sitting over there, and all of a sudden, our guy Matt brings all your stuff and sets it up for you.
Good guy. Great guy.
You didn't ask him to do that.
Well, no.
Yeah,
no.
Good. Because you're not a diva.
No, no, hell yeah, no. Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, I am not. No.
I'm glad to hear that. No. I had to ask.
Well, I mean, what Matt did was, I'm pretty sure, you know, he's an aware young man, which I'm, the more I live and the more people I meet, I'm realizing how rare that is. Like, just the ability, like awareness, like above average awareness. What I think he saw happen was, Ron kind of got up moseying around from the table, and my bag was still over there. So I think it was more of a, hey, let me grab my man's bag before somebody walks
by
and takes it to the bathroom.
That's reassuring. I don't want anybody, hey, can you go get my stuff and set it up
for me? No, hell, I wouldn't do that to nobody, much less my man Matt. I like him.
Matt, now, this is what happened. Matt walked over to us, to me over there. He said, hey, won't you go ahead and take the seat over there? And me and Matt have a fun relationship. I told him, I said, I'll go over there when I'm ready. and then he just took all our stuff.
Okay.
And just took all our stuff and put it on over here. I said, oh, okay.
Okay, that's what I wanted to believe. So I'm glad we got that straight.
Nah, come on, J-Lo. You know better than that.
Now, there are maybe some people, you know, Sean, you know, that.
Damn.
Oh, Pendergast will pull that?
I'm kidding.
I was like, that didn't even make sense. I don't think we got anybody in the station that's like that.
Who's this get my stuff guy?
Can you set up my stuff?
Get my stuff. How's everybody's brackets?
I'm undefeated.
Me too.
Yeah.
You didn't fall for that high point?
Hell no.
A lot of people was fought. You fell for that high point?
I fell for the high point.
Yeah.
I put the high point on there on one of
them. I did not fall for high point.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And it really wasn't about high point. I just don't like Purdue.
I'm gonna assume, since Texas is firing their head coach, that they lost the old play-in.
Yes, they did. And they had a nice
I guess that can't hurt my bracket, right?
Damn, no,
bracket.
No, no, no. Can't hurt your bracket.
No, it can't.
Because I turned it in before that game, and I was like,
hey, Tyler's here.
Tyler, boy, Tyler could have nice a lead.
Yeah.
They did, and they wasted it at the end.
I thought they were gonna kill him in the first half.
I was trying to support my old lady a little bit, man, and then I look up. Hell, they ain't even in a damn bracket.
Oh, Have you bought a horse yet?
No, I ain't bought it yet.
Have you priced them out though?
You hear about that?
Nah, look.
I said right here. Listen,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'd be willing to bet you my wife's got a file on her computer.
I'll tell you what.
I've been willing. She's had that file on her computer before you came in.
I'll tell you what. The first thing I thought of: parents ain't gonna do it, but it might. 2.5-year-old granddaughter said, hey, Grandpa, can I have a horse?
Yes.
That horse will be there the next morning.
Well, I'm going to slide that over.
I guess I got to wait to be a grandmother. That's right. I told you, I'd have laughed right in her face. You better come up
with something. No, I'd have said, hell no.
You better come up with something else.
But those little...
Hey,
those...
I ain't even got it for you to come up with.
You like if you get a My Little Pony. We're going to be honest.
Yeah, that. Hey, speaking of My Little Pony, somebody bought my 3-year-old a whole bucket full of My Little Ponies, right? And I walk in, I said, oh, My Little Pony, I remember that. And she goes, no, it's My Little Pony. I said, no, they're my. She just couldn't grasp the whole thing. They're called My Little Pony.
Boom. I like it. She boxed you out immediately. Oh, like, no, wait, hold on.
I tried to fight the good fight for about 2-3 minutes, and I was like, hell with it. Yeah, you're right.
You're a little pony. All right. And it's your time, fellas. Our little pony of the show. We're done. But I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out here at the Twin
Why
Peaks
not?
Here at Kirby and 59. Come out and see the fellas of the drive. This has been your DNM Auto Leasing Crosstalk. And you're listening to KLT FM, KLT HD, Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, the drive is live.